Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Robin Shirley, and welcome to Take Back Your Health Radio. Today, we have a special guest, Tom Chappell, and he and I are going to chat about his one of his books on managing time. And he is a former Gannett chief operating officer, and he has actually a ton of experience with helping professionals to become more professional, be more productive, have more clients, land more referrals, and actually make more money and experience more of what they love in life. So I invited him on today. He is my business coach, and he is a good family friend of mine. I've known him, he's known me since I was a baby. And so we're going to talk about time management today and a kind of a different perspective on it. And we're going to talk about reevaluating where you're headed in life and reevaluating how you spend your time every day. So real quick before I bring him on the line, I wanted to remind everyone that the Take Back Your Health Conference is happening in Los Angeles, April 18th through 20th at the Westin LAX Airport Hotel. And you can learn more and buy your tickets at www.tbyhconference.com. That's www.tbyhconference.com. Sorry, there's some traffic noises in the background. Anyways, tbyhconference.com, it stands for Take Back Your Health Conference, and I hope to see everyone there. Tickets are on sale now. All right, so let's bring Tom onto the call. So welcome, Tom. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Can hear you. Welcome. How are you this morning, or this afternoon, actually?
It is afternoon. I'm very well, and I just came in from another snowstorm. So the traffic noises you hear over my line are apt to be snowplows.
Oh, yeah. So you're in upstate New York, just for everyone who's listening. So did you guys have snow all night? Is it kind of just a continuous flow?
It's continuous. It started snowing this time right after Christmas, and it's been so cold it hasn't melted, so it's just been building up and building up. So you can be very thankful that you're in Southern California.
It's so funny. I knew that snow was going to be the one thing that I missed the most in terms of the climate and the weather and the location, but I'm adjusting so much to the weather here that now I do get really cold at night here with the 50 to 60 degree weather.
It's okay, really Robin, you can just shut up now.
Sorry. Anyways, whatever. I don't know. I need to get over it. I just get so cold. Anyways, so snow, beautiful. I miss it. But today the topic is time management, not weather. So I wanted to tell everyone why I think this is such an important topic and why I'm talking about it on Take Back Your Health Radio, because actually when you think of time management, you usually think of work and career and your job. So let me just say that I talk about this a lot on the radio show. When you are trying to improve your health, and you're trying to incorporate healthy habits because you know that that's the best way to improve your health is to start eating healthy, exercising, changing your lifestyle. You absolutely have to take a look at what you're spending your time doing every day, because the most effective way and the easiest way to make changes in your life is to incorporate these healthy habits and just kind of get on autopilot with it. So if you look at your daily schedule, you can see, oh, that's where I'm doing something unhealthy. Let me flip it out with a healthy habit. So when I'm thinking about things that I need to be doing to improve my health, I always think, how can I incorporate that into my day so that it's a really easy thing to do and I don't have to, fall out of the habit or fall off the wagon or whatever might happen. So that's why I like this concept of time management, and I think that, Tom, you have really good insight into how to get people to think differently about what they're spending their time doing. And I wanted to actually just start by having you talk about why you decided to write a book on time management, your background in business, and why that's an important topic to you.
Okay. I've been interested in time management since probably I was your age, which is a long, long time ago. Most of my career I've spent as an attorney, being very busy and working for the past 30 years or so for a media company called Gannett. And that was a very rapidly growing company. And I made the mistake of doing a good job, so I kept getting more and more responsibility. And so I needed to get things done. And to do that, I knew that I had to learn some very good time management skills. And I think I read my first time management book, as I said, back when I was your age. And it was a book called The Time Trap, which is a very good book. But it got me started thinking about how to do things more effectively, and how to manage time and how to manage workflow. So I got into it at an early age, and I stayed with it and kept teaching myself how to do things more efficiently. And since I've been coaching other people, I probably learned more than I ever learned in my career. You know, when you learn how to, in order to coach people, you have to really learn how to do something fairly well. So it's a long standing thing with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm kind of curious if you could give us, I want to focus on the idea of value, being value-driven when you're thinking about your time management. But first, can you tell that story about driving across the country? You put it in your book, and
yeah,
I won't say much more.
I was at Cornell in college, and one spring break, four of us drove across the country from Ithaca to La Jolla. And one night, it was my turn to drive, and it had been a long day, and I took a wrong turn, and instead of heading toward Topeka, I started heading toward Wichita. I might have the cities reversed, but it didn't really matter. I was heading toward Wichita, and I didn't realize for about an hour or so that I was going the wrong direction. And I used that story to illustrate the fact that you can be working hard and going fast and doing what you think is a good job, but if you're going in the wrong direction, that's probably the biggest time management mistake that people can make. And so my book is divided into two sections. There's a smaller part one that talks about how to figure out what direction you want to take in life. And then there's a larger part two, which talks about time management techniques. And the exercises that I have in the book, the first one I have a list of, oh, I don't know, maybe 50 values. There are lots of lists of values out there, and this just happened to be one that worked for me. And so I have people go through the exercise of circling the 10 values that they think most represent what they want to build their life around. Because I've realized that we really can, you know, the universe always steps in and sends us off in a different direction or on a detour, but we really can live the kind of life that we want to live if we do it consciously, if we think about first what values we hold dearest and where those values come from, who knows? It's part nature and part nurture. But we get our values and however we get them. And so I have people go through the exercise of circling the top 10 values. And then the second piece of the exercise is to rank them against one another by comparing the first value to the remaining values and checking off which one is more important. It's a little difficult to explain, but basically it's score each value against another. And then when you've done that, you can see at least at the present time in your life, what values are most important to you and which values are least important of your top 10 values. And having done that, then you can see the reality of it, let's say, and you can structure some goals around those values. And that helps in a very important way, and that is it helps you set priorities. Because if you have 100 things to do on your plate, only one or two of them will be supportive of your top value. Maybe none will be, which is something you need to work on. But it's a way of going through what you have to do and deciding what your personal priorities are based on your own personal values. So it's values, priorities, prioritization of those values, setting goals to support those values, and then being mindful as you go about your day-to-day life of what those values are, so that you don't go to Topeka when you really want to go to Wichita.
Yeah, I love that metaphor. I wanted to ask you if you could give some examples. So say they and let me tell everyone that you can find a list of values at tomchappell.com. That's T-O-M-C-H-A-P-P-L-E, tomchappell.com. And at the bottom, very bottom in the footer of the website, there's some links to his blog posts, and there's one on manage your time by knowing your values. And on that page, you can see a list of values. And so I'm curious, Tom, if you've done this in person with professionals and or anyone in your life, and you've helped them to find, well, once they know their values and they know their top three, let's say, and their what do you do from there? Because some people say, well, my job doesn't line up with my values. So what do they do? Because they still have to be productive in their job. So I'm curious what the next step is, if you can talk about that at all.
Well, the next step is I think the most important step to reduce stress in everyone's work and daily life, which I've discovered as I've coached people. I didn't always know this, but I know it now. And that is that there are a few facts that we don't have to accept, but if we accept them, that would be good. And the first fact to accept is that we have more to do than we can get to. And everyone says that, but very few people structure their lives around the fact of that. And because we actually do have more to do than we can get to, that tends to increase our stress quite a bit. And if we accept the fact that we have more to do than we can get to, then something follows from that. And that is that, okay, I understand that I'm under stress partly because I have more things to do than I can actually do. And that applies to almost all of us in this post-rate recession era. And so then what you have to do is decide, okay, of all the things that I have to do, what are my priorities? And accept the fact that there are things that you will not get to. And when you do that, it's also important that in connection with your job, or if you're self-employed, managing your business, you go to your boss and you say, boss, here's the list of things I have to do. And here's the way that I've prioritized those things. Are these priorities right? Are they consistent with what you want? And I did this when I was in the later stages of my business career at Gannett. And what that does, if you can engage your boss in that kind of dialogue, is that it takes the stress off you and dumps it back on your boss. Because once he or she has accepted the fact that you cannot do everything you have to do, and once he or she has accepted the fact that the priorities that you've outlined and shared with your boss are the ones that he or she wants you to do, then it becomes his or her problem, your boss's problem, because you have gotten buy-off on the things that are most important to your boss or your business. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But in order to do that, in order to reduce your stress that way, you actually have to have ongoing conversations, at least weekly is what I did when I had a boss, at least weekly to go over these priorities. And most supervisors appreciate that because it keeps them better aware of what their reality is. So that's a series of things that I've learned in my coaching practice, that if you follow my prescription, can reduce your stress considerably, and it works. It works with my clients.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a testimonial to that, actually. When I was working for a woman, I was last year, actually, it was a part-time job. It was 10 hours a week, and I had too many things that she wanted me to do, and I couldn't do it all in 10 hours a week. And so I just had an honest conversation with her about it, and, you know, I'll skip over all the details and everything, but the end result was, yes, I had much less stress because she wasn't, you know, she, when I told her, no, I haven't gotten to that yet, I didn't anymore have to feel guilt about it because she knew the reason and it wasn't my fault. So I think that, you know, it kind of illustrates your point there a little bit. And then I also am wondering if you can talk a little bit about doing that in your personal life as well. So not just with your boss having that conversation, but having the conversation with yourself then about being honest with how much you can accomplish, because people have goals outside of their careers.
Yeah, that takes, unfortunately, like a lot of time management techniques, that takes a lot of discipline to do that. But here's how you do it. You go through the values exercise. You prioritize those values so you know how you want to spend your life to accomplish what you want in your life. And that's not just work. It's everything in your life. And then you write everything down. There is another good book about time management called Getting Things Done, and it's by a guy named David Alla. And in his book, he talks about how the human brain, if it has to remember lots of things, it just keeps going through them and going through them and going through them like a big washing machine in a big cycle. And one way to avoid that is to write things down on a to-do list. Now, the part of the human brain that does that cycling around and around and around happens to be the same part, according to people who know, that is the center of our creativity and how we get good work done. And so if you can calm that part of your brain down by keeping good to-do lists, then your work will be better. You'll gain more clients. You'll make more money. So keep good to-do lists. And in my book, I have a quadrant, four sections, which I guess makes it a quadrant, of things that are important versus things that are urgent. And we all tend to let things build up until they become urgent. In fact, if something is important and urgent, you simply don't do as good a job on it as you would do on that same important thing if it were not urgent. If you're working in the quadrant, if you can sort of visualize it, that is important things done on a non-urgent basis, that's where you gain clients. That's where you do your best work. And if you allow those things to become urgent, that's a bad thing because you don't do your best work. And how does stuff that started out not urgent become urgent? Very simple. You just don't do it. You just let it sit in your stack, and gradually, like soil erosion, it moves from one side of your desk to the other and becomes urgent. And there are ways that you can control that.
Mm-hmm.
Want to know what they are?
I do, okay. Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, two concepts in time management. One is the two-minute drill, and the next is the next action step. First, have an inbox. And we all have at least two inboxes. One is on our computer, and the other is for physical stuff on our desk. And if you don't have specific places to put things that are incoming, and I mean everything that comes in, then create a place. So you start with these, with your inboxes, new things in them every day, and then you put these two concepts to work. You take 2 minutes to do the next thing that you can do with whatever is in your inbox. So I pick up a piece of paper, and it's trash, I decide. So it doesn't take me 2 minutes to do anything with it. The next step is to throw it out, and it's gone. On the other extreme, I get a big project in my inbox, whether it's on the computer or a note, or somebody comes in and tells me to do something. I get a big project that I can't possibly do in 2 minutes. The mistake that so many people make is to say, okay, I can't do anything with this right now, I'll put it in my stack. And then things stack up and stack up, and eventually there's probably spontaneous combustion, fire going on at the bottom of your stack. The antidote for that is to, for everything that comes in, never say, I can't do anything right now, so I'll put it in my stack. But always say, I'm going to take 2 minutes, and when I do my coaching, I give away 2-minute egg timers. I'm going to take 2 minutes to do whatever I can do to move this along a little bit, whether it's delegate it to your assistant, whether it's do 2 minutes worth of research. If it's a phone call, take 2 minutes and return the call. Whatever you can do in 2 minutes, and it may be, okay, I'm going to write down in my schedule book an appointment with myself for next Tuesday to spend an hour on this thing. But don't put it in your stack without doing anything to it, because it will become urgent and you will do it less well. So 2-minute drill, put stuff in your inbox, 2-minute drill to do whatever you can in 2 minutes, and to do something in those 2 minutes, not nothing. And you will be way ahead of the competition and you will reduce your stress. And I tell people that that takes about 15 minutes a day, depending on who you are and what you do. If you take those 15 minutes, or 20, or 10, and go through those two steps, next action step and 2-minute drill, if you do it every day, you will be a successful time manager. And if you don't, you will fail. Simple as that. End of that particular sermon.
So basically in the morning, or, you know, that would be a good time for me, but I guess anyone could do it in the evening or afternoon. But you take 2 minutes and you go through your inbox and you get one thing done. And if it's too big to do right then you just schedule it, or you take the first step. You send the email to get things started or whatever you need to do.
Yeah, you take and the one thing that's on top of your inbox and do the 2-minute drill.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you do the rest of the day?
The rest of the day is another important piece, which is called blocking and tackling. You block your time, it's very difficult to block your time for people who aren't used to doing it. You block your time, which means don't look at your emails, don't answer the phone. Tell your assistant, if you have one, that you're going to be you're in your time block, and that's when you actually work on things and get things done. Mm-hmm. And if you can, I work in time blocks of about an hour, so I work for an hour, and then I look at my email, and then I answer the phone, my phone calls, then I play solitaire, whatever it is. But if you can't do, a lot of people can't start at an hour, so I suggest that they take a half an hour, block their time, do the things that they have on their to-do list in order of priority, and we talked about how to set priorities, and work up to longer time blocks if possible, because interruptions are another thing that kills productivity. And so I work very hard with my coaching clients to minimize and eliminate interruptions for time blocks, during time blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that lately I have been working on more rigorously, is to set aside my time and not be distracted, because a lot of the work that I do, I actually, you know, have to focus. I'm writing, or I'm filming something, or I'm writing emails that, you know, are long paragraphs and paragraphs. So, I really like that concept. And you brought up the prioritizing things again just now. And we have about 6 minutes left, and I just wanted to bring it back to that original concept that we opened the show with about prioritizing your day, what you do each day based on your values. So if we've got someone who is valuing, you know, let's say they're valuing family, and they value home life, and they value financial freedom. So those are like maybe their top three that they've come up with after they've got the list done. And they have a high stress job and they work sometimes 10 hours a day. So what is the best way for them, or how can they start looking at their day? And I mean, we kind of just went over that. You block and pack when you do the 2 minutes, but can you just kind of walk through that scenario and talk someone
through?
Yeah,
before you get to any of the actual time management techniques, when you look at your values, you need to set up some goals. And a goal that is just in your head and is not written down is not a real goal. There are, if you want to learn how to set goals, just go to Google and type in how to set goals, and you'll have all kinds of millions of pages. But basically, you need to write it down. Say if my top priority were family, which, interestingly, most people's top priority is family, 9 out of 10 people, then that means, okay, I want to do something with my kids. I want to maybe coach soccer this season. So one goal I have is to coach soccer in the spring of 2015 on my kids' team. And so that's a goal that you can put in there. Now, coaching soccer may well run right up against doing work on a big project for an important client. And it's very often the case that your goals conflict. And if, in fact, your top priority, top value is family life, and your second value is make enough money to support my family, you have to make some difficult decisions. You have to get down to deciding how much money you want to make in your life. You have to decide what sorts of things that you want to do to support your family and still be able to earn a living. This is not easy stuff. But if you want to create a life that you want to live, you have to do some homework and to sit down with a pen and paper and write down what you want that life to be like. And once you have those things written down, that will at least give you more guidance than you have now about what to do when there are time conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, that was great. I think that was the missing puzzle piece that we hadn't talked about yet, was the goal setting. And so just relating it to health and you know, we talk a lot about business and jobs, but health, it's the same thing that I do is I talk about, I write down my goals for my health, and then I say, how am I going to reach those goals? And it ends up being a little bit of a to-do list, and then I figure out how to put it into my day. Same thing with work and any other goal that you have. So that was really good.
Well, good.
Yeah. So, well, we're about to have to end the show, but all your books are available on Amazon, right?
They are, yes. And you can, one is called Landing Referrals, and that contains a system. My books are not War and Peace. They're very simple management guidebooks on how to actually do things. Landing Referrals is how to create a system to get more referrals, especially for people who are shy about asking for them. And then there's Managing Time, which we've been discussing. And then the third one is called The Remarkable Client Experience, which goes beyond the referrals book to capture what all of the smart people have said about really wowing your clients, and I create a system so that you can create a remarkable client experience as part of the way you do business. So thank you for that time.
Yeah, and I actually am in the middle of that remarkable client experience book right now, and all of these books are really fun and easy to read, so I would recommend them to everyone. Again, this was Tom Chappell. That's TOMCHAPPLE. Google him. Go to his website. He's got lots of fun information online about success. And thank you so much, Tom, for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Robin.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. We will be back next Tuesday with another episode of Take Back Your Health Radio. Thank you so much for listening in, and have a wonderful week.